Well, I want to do something just a little bit different today. You know, I'm always good at having 3 points, but I want us to look at this story from a different perspective today. I want us to look at it in light of how I believe Luke was inspired to write this story. And so in Luke chapter 1, if you want to turn there, and I want you to think about for a moment, are we here by coincidence or divine design? Are you as an individual here by just the coincidence of what happened? Your mom and dad wanted a baby, and so you're the product of that. Or are we here? Do we live our life according to a divine plan, not just a random act or random thing that happened? You know, evolution tries to tell us that we are a product of random changes over time, and we're constantly becoming different. But the Bible says something much different. It says, you and I were designed in the image of God to bear His glory, to present to the world an example of what it means to be a follower of Christ and have the touch of God on our life. So as we read in just a few moments, I want you to think about that idea. Are you here by coincidence, a random set of circumstances that all accumulate to make who you are? Or are you here by divine design, by God's plan? In Luke chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God, in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, the vow of a Nazarite, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before Jesus, is what it means there, before Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers back to their children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain, for sure? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me." In the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. Now, I want to share with you some thoughts that are going to be very important for us understanding the significance and the importance of this story. The first one is the Mishnah, which is kind of the oral tradition that has been passed down in Jewish thought, and the Mishnah was the first Jewish recording of that oral tradition. It states, before each of the two daily services, four sets of lots were used to determine the participants. In other words, it wasn't like casting dice. It was something that they had acquired over time to discern what God was saying to them. And they used it as a tool to help them comprehend where God was leading and what he was doing. And in this case, the incense lot finally fell to Zacharias. And in an instant, he was at the apex of his personal history. It's kind of what a commentator has said about him. This was a very significant thing because some people, some men would be priests their entire life and never serve in this capacity. So this is very significant to note as we walk through this story. Many priests never had the privilege, and no priest was allowed to offer it more than one time. That's, if you do it once, then you're done. You're finished. Zechariah and Elizabeth, as it tells us in this story, they were faithful. And Zechariah's name itself is a proper, popular priestly name. And it meant the Lord has remembered. We need to remember. We're going to talk about it in just a second. And in the case, it would prove very dramatic. Elizabeth, her name, or she was of priestly descent, and her name was meaning her pointed to the promise-keeping God, that God was a promise keeper. So both Zechariah and Elizabeth were upright in the sight of God. They were beautiful people in God's sight. This does not in any way mean that they were sinless people. But they were striving in their life to follow God's plan and God's purpose. That's going to be an important thing for us to acknowledge. So Zechariah was just simply going through his ordinary life as a priest. He was one of 8,000 who lived in Palestine at this time. The priests, as it talks about, were divided up into they were divided according to an arrangement first instituted 1,000 years prior under King David. Then it was reconstituted as 24 divisions after the Babylonian captivity. Each division numbered about 300 priests. Zechariah's division, as Luke writes, his division was the 8th division of Abijah, and he served for 2 1-week periods per year, as did the others. 56 priests were chosen by lot to participate each day. Now, that's all the technical stuff I'm going to give you. When you look at the life of Zechariah, one of the questions, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, was Zechariah just simply living the circumstances of his life? Or was Zechariah experiencing the touch of God, his purpose for which he had been born? Zechariah, can you imagine when the lot fell to him? That in and of itself has to be something that was very exhilarating and so meaningful to him, to think that the lot would fall to him. And out of all the other priests that could receive that lot, he was one of them. He was the one who was to go in. He was the one who, when he receives this vision, he was in the Holy of Holies. He was in that place that was so sacred, so significant, so important, that some believe that if a priest was not prepared and went into that place, he could die there because he was not prepared to meet the Lord. Think of how significant that must have been. And as he and Elizabeth shared that moment, it says in verse 8, while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. When you think about the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth, I want you to ask yourself one important question. Was it merely coincidence that Zacharias was, that he was born into the priestly lineage of Levi? that he married a woman who was a daughter in the family tree of Aaron, that they both were walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord, that they had no children. You know, a lot of times people look at barrenness as a curse, but there are many times in the Bible where barrenness is a preparation because the child that is going to be born is significant. Significant from a historical perspective. And that was certainly true for Elizabeth. It's significant that they were advanced in years. You know, up to this point, we just have the historical revelation that Abraham and Sarah were advanced in their years. They were way beyond childbearing. But what had God promised to Abraham? He promised that he would give him a son. Not a son that was born out of instigation, effort by mankind, but one that was born because God designed him to be born. God planned him to be born. It was his purpose. And Luke wanted us to know this was not an ordinary set of circumstances. It's not by coincidence that Zacharias was chosen by lot to serve this appointed time. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from who? The Lord. The Lord is the one who makes that happen. That Gabriel appeared to him, appeared to Zacharias while he was in the Holy of Holies offering sacrifices to God. Was it coincidence that Gabriel told Zacharias to name the child John? If you look just maybe one page over, the latter part of chapter 1, it says, starting with verse 59, look at what it says there. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called, as if they thought Elizabeth didn't know at that moment. And they made those signs, and he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows: his name is John. To which everybody there was astonished by what happened. Why? Because God was not in all the circumstances. God had a plan, a purpose, and he was about to unfold that plan and purpose in this moment. It wasn't an accident that John received that name, because the name John means God has been gracious, or God has shown favor. You imagine what Elizabeth must have felt in that moment as she thought about experiencing the birthing of a child that God himself had promised. God was going to be gracious to her. So when we look at the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth, we see a couple that is not driven by the circumstances of their life, but is driven by the purposes of God to accomplish what He wants to do. Let me pause and ask you, think about your life. Is your life just a random set of circumstances that has come to you over time? Or is your life part of God's plan? Is it part of His purpose? You're not here simply by accident or by an act of evolution, but you are here at this time for a purpose, for a reason. So let's take a few moments and look at some of the takeaways. Some of the takeaways of these things. The events in our life as a follower of God are not random acts. Sometimes we feel like they are. We feel like all this is happening around us and we don't have any answers. We don't know what to do. But let me tell you something, my friend. God Himself knows. He knows our plans. He knows what is going to happen. They might appear as such chaotic, but they are not. God has a purpose for our life. God is intimately involved in our past, our present, and our future. It's not by accident that you are here. God has plans. God has plans for our marriage. God has plans for our careers. God has plans for our children. One of the things that Gabriel said to Zacharias here was, your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Now, when you stop and think about it for just a moment, you've got to think about where they were in their life. Zachariah and Elizabeth had probably long since stopped praying for a son. They had long since stopped praying for a child because they thought, well, must not be in God's plan, must not be in God's purpose for my life. But God promised so many years ago that there was going to be a forerunner of Jesus. And so in essence, when Gabriel said, your petition has been heard, you're going to have a son. Can you imagine what that must have felt like at that moment as Zacharias heard those words? Probably thought to himself, man, why did I quit praying about it? Or he might have thought to himself, God, thank you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for coming to our aid. Thank you for giving us what we could not produce in our own strength and by our own ability. Thank you, God, for what you have done. For Zacharias, his prayers had not fallen on deaf ears. He might have thought that those prayers were empty, but Gabriel told him, the work that you have done, your desire to follow God, You don't determine the time, but God will be faithful to do that. God can do something miraculous even when we are advanced in years. When we're old, God can still use us. God can still accomplish great and mighty things. And my friend, God may have promised you something in your youth you haven't experienced yet. Don't give up. God is the God who can still bring that to pass. He can still accomplish it, just like he did in Elizabeth's life. He accomplished giving her a child, even though all those around her would look at her and probably shame her because she was barren. For the people of that day, it was a significant thing to be barren, because it meant you were fruitless. But God worked in that. It's important for us, another thought to think about, a takeaway, is we need to be careful about doubting what God can do. Have you been at a place in your life where you feel like, well, here I am now, I'm well beyond what the world would say or is my childbearing years, or are my childbearing years? And yet, God Himself can do what? The impossible. He can accomplish things that we look at and we say, well, that's probably never going to happen. Keep the faith. Keep the faith that God Himself is going to do what He promised. Don't doubt that reality. But you know, sometimes when we doubt those realities, God uses that to increase our faith. I want you to look at something again in Zacharias' prophecy. Zechariah, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has," notice past tense, "He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, His servant." Past tense. That's an important thing for us to note there. Because here is a man that doubted in this conversation he had with the angel. He doubted the word that the angel had spoke to him. But when he spoke this truth, John had not lived his life. He had not been an instrument of God in a powerful way. So what had happened in Zacharias' life after he heard the word of God, after he experienced that period of silence? Can you imagine the times that he thought, man, if I could just talk, if I could just share? But God used those times in his life to do what? To build his faith. And sometimes for us, periods of barrenness in circumstances and situations that we think God is a part of, the period of silence that we experience in our life, when we pray and ask God for something, and we pray and ask God for something, and we pray and ask God for something, and we pray and we ask God for something, and we feel as if God must not be listening. But He is. And He did in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. God can take the fruitless seasons of our lives to prepare us for a great harvest. God can take the fruitless seasons of our life, the times when we feel like we're not bearing anything, we're not doing anything for God, but we're being faithful to Him as Zacharias and Elizabeth were. One day God is going to show you that purpose. Maybe He already has, or maybe it's yet to come. He's going to show you that purpose for why He created you and why He gave you this beautiful experience in life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this: "For we are His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Was this verse not true for Zechariah and Elizabeth? Was it not true as they look back on the events of their life, and as they look at the hand of God leading them and guiding them to good works, which God Himself prepared beforehand that we should live in them, walk in them, abide in them? Are you at that place in your life? Do you feel like God has a good and wonderful plan for you? Isn't that what it says in Romans chapter 8? If God does not withhold His only Son from us, how would He withhold any other good thing from us? He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has an agenda. But it's His, not ours. Sometimes we live our life thinking, well, I need to do this for God. I need to do that for God. When in reality, what is He really about? Not you doing this or that, but about you and I being obedient to Him. Living out the design that He has purposed and planned for our lives. You know, one of the things that we can look at is in looking at a tapestry. If you ever look at the back of a tapestry, it looks very chaotic, doesn't it? It looks like this crazy mesh of stuff. And then you turn it over and you look at it and you see the design that is there. Sometimes you and I need to look at our life from the perspective of, this may be chaotic right now. There may be a lot of things happening in my life. I may be struggling through my marriage relationship. I may be struggling through a financial problem. I may be struggling through a health problem. I may be struggling in my relationship with my children. But there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day where God shows us His tapestry that He has been making with our life. The things that He has been doing and He has been planning, and your faithfulness through all of those things have given Him the opportunity to take your life and to accomplish everything He desires to do through that. My friend, we are not here by accident. God takes everything. As it says once again in Romans chapter 8, and God works everything for good. But notice what it says. To those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. Zacharias and Elizabeth were called according to the purpose of God, and they were striving to live a life that pleased him. And all along you saw the favor of God in their circumstances. You saw how God prepared them for this moment. Is God preparing you for a moment in the future? If he is, are you obedient to what God has told you to do as best you know it? Are you following a plan or a purpose for your life that God himself has designed? Doesn't mean we won't live through difficulties and hardships and face things in our life that we could look at and say, surely this is not from God. But God will show us. God will show us that yes, it is. And what did John the Baptist later go on to do? He became the forerunner of Jesus. Man, what a life he must have lived. Be exciting to speak to them and hear their story from their perspective of what God did. Many believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, helped Luke put these circumstances in order. As you stop and think about your life, are you here today because of random circumstances? Are you here today living the life you're living because God had a plan? I want to tell you today, the Word of God is very clear. God has a plan for everyone, not just for some, but for all. And when we follow him, we will see that and experience it in great power. Let's pray together.